Let's take a few moments in silent prayer as we prepare to worship our God. Please stand then for the call to worship from Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength, or the rock of ages. Beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your mercies, for your faithfulness, for your grace, that you are that God who has provided the one way of salvation and according to your eternal plan. Yes, Father, you sent the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, to come into this world, and he lived in perfect obedience and righteousness and gave himself at the cross. And so we know the Holy Spirit also applies the benefits of what Christ has done to your people. And so truly in you, O Lord our God, we have the rock of ages, our everlasting strength, our assurance, not only of forgiveness and righteousness in your sight now, but everlasting life with you in that glorious world to come. How we long for that. May our hearts and minds be lifted up to praise you at this time, O triune God, to hear your word and to respond to you as we ought in greater measure. Yes, may we each grow in repentance and faith, serving you in all gratitude. May we be your witnesses, and may we hear your word as we ought, that you would be blessed to work through that. Thank you for your faithfulness again. Forgive our sins, increase our faith, guide and direct us, as we ask it all, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the as it was in the beginning, 'tis now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
And let's turn in front of the hymnal to the Nicene Creed as we'll confess the Christian faith with that creed from the early church. As we say together, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who, for us men and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy, catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn to our first hymn, number 338, Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart. Of course, we do need the Spirit of the Lord God, the Holy Spirit, to give us repentance, faith, new life, and to lead us and to bring the fruit of the Spirit about in God's people. May we truly be thankful that He does so work for His glory and our good. A Psalter reading today is Psalm 150, page 862. The last Psalm, and of course it gives praise to the Lord God rightly. Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty firmament.
Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness.
Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp.
Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes.
Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
True, our God has made all things for His glory, and He is rightly to be praised for that. And we are to trust and honor Him in all of this life and looking for the perfect world to come, where the remnants of sin will be utterly done away with, and there will be that righteousness alone there and perfect fellowship with God for all believers. And so may we look for that day, long for it again in thankfulness for what Jesus has done in His saving work. For Catechism, Lord's Day 47, page 873. In Lord's Day 47, the one question and answer, 122. What is the first petition? Hallowed be thy name. That is, grant us first rightly to know thee, and to hallow, magnify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth shine forth, and further, that we so order our whole life, our thoughts, words, and deeds, that thy name may not be blasphemed, but honored and praised on our account. Well, we obviously cannot add to God's holiness or His glory when we say, hallowed be thy name, but we want to rightly honor Him, and to show forth His holiness, His goodness, His truth, His mercy, justice, all of these things, and that would indeed shine forth in our trust of the Lord our God, and as we walk, as we live in this life, we want our thoughts, words, and deeds to be honoring to Him, that God would certainly not be blasphemed, dishonored, discredited in any way. We want to do what God says is right according to His holy word, because we know that is right. And we are thankful as His people. May it be so more and more that God will be honored and praised on our account. Again, having such a gracious God and Heavenly Father who calls us to worship Him, to hear His holy word, to respond to Him as we ought, He is that one who also calls us to pray to Him. He's been as the chief part of our thankfulness. So let us join in prayer together. Again, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, You are the great and glorious God, truly. You are all-wise, all-powerful, yes, and all-present. And so we know that You are so good and You are merciful indeed. We see so much trouble and grief in this world, but we know where that has come from, even from us, as it were, from our first parents. It's man's sin that brought the curse, and rightly Your justice has been carried out in that way, as being so that there is that curse and trouble, pain and grief and tears and even death as the punishment of sin. But immediately also in the Garden of Eden, You proclaimed the one way of redemption through the Lord Jesus, that He is the seed of the woman who would come and win over all the power of the devil. And so we thank You, O Christ, that You did come in perfect righteousness and obedience. You kept all the law of God as You submitted Yourself to that. And You, as the eternal Son of God, took upon a human nature in which to do so. And You have indeed, again, won our victory for us. You conquered the serpent, the devil. You won even through your righteousness and your sacrifice at the cross. You bore the wrath of God, and so we have all our dependence upon you. There is no other source of redemption. There's no other way we could have forgiveness and life, to have righteousness in the sight of God by what you have done. And so we thank you for your faithfulness. We pray you'd be with us, and we pray the Holy Spirit would guide and direct even in our worship and every moment that we hear your word, whether it's here or in Sunday school classes, other classes, certainly at home, in our times of study, may we have that and hear the truth and be sanctified by it. Yes, we do pray you'd be with us at this time. Guide and direct our worship that it would be fitting before you, O Heavenly Father. And we do pray that you'll continue to direct us as a congregation, as families and individuals. We could serve you and be glad witnesses unto the Lord Jesus. We thank you for your goodness to us through the past year. And as we think about that in our congregational meeting also, that you would be honored and that we would trust you in greater measure. Guide and be with us in all things. We do pray for your continued blessings upon many we have brought before you and ask for your mercies. Certainly be with Adas at this time and pray the delivery of her child, Carissa, would go well. We pray that she wouldn't have to have the inducing of that. But we pray for your mercies to be manifest and guide all the family with Joshua there and with Eve and with her father coming from Brazil. Pray all would go well with that, and that you would bless even time of fellowship and people in their Christian community would be of help and service even after the child is born as well. Give them a healthy child, we do pray, and protect them for your glory, O Lord our God. And we pray for Earl and his surgery coming up on Tuesday, and pray that would proceed well. You would be honored to provide for him again, and we know that you are a good God, and you do care for your people. And so we ask you for your blessings there with Zach and Alicia, and for her health needs at this time. We pray for your direction, any testing care she does receive that would be effective. I mean, with the whole family to rely upon you, David also may be turned to you, O Lord. Be with the visitation I have coming up and elder coming from Sutton to Omaha on Tuesday. We thank you for all our mission works. We pray that they will grow in faith and service to you. Be with Reverend Kleinsma there and with certainly with the Lincoln congregation at this time as they have oversight. Pray for your mercies and that you'll provide for them. And that Lincoln congregation, even with pulpit, and we do pray for Reverend Johnson that he might have a complete recovery yet from the stroke. According to your mercy, be with him, Jenny Joe, again in the family, and bless them. Show your power and your goodness. With others who have health needs, and certainly those who grieve, even over the past year, having lost loved ones, we pray for your blessing upon each one. Jerry is soon to go to his work away from here. We pray for him and Kathy and family. May others be turned to you, O Lord. We thank you for students coming back and those who still will be going back to school. And pray for Selena still in California. We understand. May she hear your word above all. I'll be with our church, our mission church at Casper. Christ Reformed and Reverend Matt Powell, and guide and direct your people. Build them up in faith and numbers, even as we pray that for ourselves and all our congregations. We do pray for protection of the unborn in our land and other nations, O Heavenly Father, and certainly that the Supreme Court would rule in a pro-life manner. And we thank you for at least the ruling also on the mandates. Businesses are not subjected to that. Pray for your direction. Serve for our healthcare workers, think of Paul and others in that area as also. Again, may your word of truth guide our governmental leaders to do what's right. In this election year, we pray for your direction, O God, and we would have leaders to do what is right according to the principles of the Scriptures. Guide and direct us, we do pray to hear and how we would vote and so forth, and pray for your mercies to be manifest there. Certainly do cry out to you for persecuted believers that they will be strong in the faith and many more will be won to Christ. May there be a great reawakening in our land and elsewhere before that last day, the day of judgment that is certainly coming. Again, help us to hear your word. Help me to proclaim it. Turn us away from our sins and lead us in your paths. As we do ask it all through the grace of the Lord Jesus, and may his Spirit guide us truly. We do pray it in Christ's holy name. Amen. Let's turn then to hymn number 699. As we'll stand to sing, Like a River Glorious. Sermon passage today is John 14, 25 to 31. Again, John 14, starting at verse 25, as Jesus is speaking. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he is nothing in me. but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Now, with this topic, you might think of a most common question and reply during one of those old Miss America pageants. That is, it used to be typical to ask a contestant as to what change she really wanted to see in the world. And it became a joke that it would always be world peace. I just want to see world peace. Well, it's hard to imagine that anyone would say, I want to see more wars in the world. And yet, we might not find it so easy to deeply care whether there is civil peace in far-off countries that we have little in common with. Also, think how the meaning put to the word peace will vary among individuals. We will naturally want calm circumstances for ourselves, no doubt. And many would think of having material blessings or prosperity as the way of peace instead of anxiety. In any case, dear ones, Jesus speaks here of leaving his peace with the apostles and really with all true Christians. And we can be so glad he has done so. And if that is something from him, it must be real or true peace, of course. And so if you or I imagine he has not provided well enough for us to have such peace, we need to change our thinking and hold to what is true. God knows and does what is his will for the best, for all his people. Yes, he has a perfect will, whether we struggle to accept that or not. Christ brought the way of peace with God, and of course you and I must rest in the Lord's will to have personal peace also. So first today, true peace is Christ's gift, and secondly, true peace is received from the Holy Spirit. Again, here Jesus said in verse 27, peace I leave with you. But what could the apostles at this time think? You know, they could have imagined that he was leaving them to turmoil and distress at the mercy of a cruel world, as said. And yet here it was like a last will and testament, saying he was leaving his gift to them, and yes, to all believers, to us as well, who trust in him, he was leaving peace. And that was not what the world promises. Indeed, as he said, what the world gives for peace is so temporary as to be only a peace promised, but not really delivered on. And whatever it is, whatever this world says, it will not last, of course, as this world will not last. And yet if we think of peace as a sense of calm, security, and rest here, then as Augustine said, everyone wants peace, even warmongers, for they want to conquer and then have some peace, a more settled condition of life. However, this world, dear ones, it gives a false promise as in a mere temporary freedom from distraction, anxiety, and strife, as one wrote. Then one can do what he or she wants for a time. Or there's the peace of escapism from unpleasant things in this life. And you know that can be sought in daydreams, pleasures, and amusements. And there's the world's so-called peace, a false security. When men say, as in Jeremiah 6:14, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Again, as one said, that thinking is so often the prelude to disaster. They said there's going to be peace for us, but God's judgment was right around the corner. Well, all these false promises of the world have to do with self-centeredness, of course, not resting in the one true God. And clearly, brothers and sisters, you and I must know that this world can never give the peace of Christ, no matter how much it will say, peace be with you, or go in peace. You and I need the true peace that is his gift. Indeed, that is Christ's own peace given. Here his peace means all good there is for us. And again, it is so different from the world's promise. And Jesus had peace, as said, for he was never for one moment unmindful of his Father's will, and was ready in obedience to it to drink the cup of suffering for man's salvation. Oh, beloved, our Lord constantly defeated every temptation. He rejected earthbound hopes and refused to live his life in his own way. And so he knew divine peace, again, as said, defined as inward quiet, which no distress of mind or body was able to destroy. Now, certainly all the Lord's words of comfort to this point, yes, in all his ministry, were to give his followers peace. More so, they would soon have it when he was raised from the dead. Now, his crucifixion would be terrible to them, of course, but he would be raised up in victory and majesty and appear to them, come to them. Indeed, what is merely a wish with men, Christ gives, and far more. For true believers are made at peace with his blessing, who won redemption for us. And so this peace, the greatest present to us, is summarized as, say, the absence of spiritual unrest, but the assurance of salvation and of God's loving presence under all circumstances. That's what we should have, what we should think of, even as we think of the past year and the year ahead of us. Oh, Christ's peace given is then received by faith in God and his Son and in his promises of grace, of course. And clearly it required Christ's atoning death on the cross, which gained objective peace with God for all his followers, but also subjective peace in our hearts and lives. Truly, brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, gives faith. And he assures us, assures all believers, of peace with God. And that is all important. Not what happens in the next moment, the next day, the next year, whatever years ahead you might think of your life here in this temporary world. Oh, it is peace for all those who accept Christ's sacrifice to have forgiveness and life. And believers want to follow him in loving obedience and service. And so you and I must follow Jesus Christ to have the believers' peace with God, peace with one another as Christians, and peace within ourselves as justified by faith in him. As Romans 5:1 declares it, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Also, beloved, the result of having his peace given is to be manifest, certainly, as Jesus said in verse 27, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You and I are not to be cowardly, timid, or fearful then, not when we have such a glorious and wonderful Savior and Lord who has conquered for us again. Oh, think of it, after all, the apostles saw and recorded for us in the Scriptures how Jesus gave deliverance and calm to those full of misery and sin and disease. And he gave those disciples peace as in calming literal storms for them more than once. And he said to them, do not be afraid then. As throughout the Bible, God is saying to his people, do not be afraid. Trust him. And so truly they were to rest in him and would do that more fully after his resurrection from the dead. Oh, then they would not have his bodily presence after his ascension, but they would have Christ through his Spirit. And likewise, it is so for us, with all the faithful, to the end of this world. And so let us rejoice continually in our Savior and Lord, having Christ's own peace given. True peace is always his gift, even because he has gone to the Father. As in verse 28, Jesus reminded the apostles that he had said, I am going away and coming back to you. And verse 3, he said he was going to prepare a place for them, for all Christians. And in verse 12, I go to my Father. And he said he would return, verse 3 and elsewhere. And therefore it can be that he included in the coming back the third day after his death. And then Jesus would come to them saying, "Peace be with you." More so yet, his coming to them would be at Pentecost, when he and the Father would spiritually make their home with those who love and obey him. Verse 23. And so his going away was not to take away their peace, but to give it. He said, "It's to your advantage that I go away," because he would send the Spirit of God then. That is part of why Jesus said, "If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I'm going to the Father." It would be for their peace. Now, the true apostle certainly loved Jesus. He's not denying that. Yet he means if they loved him more than they did, they'd rejoice for him that he was going home to his Father. And they would realize his leaving would bring him glory, and they would rejoice in that. Also, in the Father's presence, Christ would send peace from its divine source in heaven. And so, beloved of God, that is why you and I can have peace, trusting he is there on the throne of heaven on our behalf. He's continually interceding for his church. How wonderful. Yes, may we have peace in him. Oh, Jesus ends his statement about going by declaring, "For my Father is greater than I." Well, you can see as obvious, I think, that cultists like the Arians in the early 300s latched onto those words, and they did so as supposed proof that Christ was a created being less than the Father in divinity. And yet what is shown so often in this very gospel is that the Son of God is equal to the Father in being, in power, and in divine nature. Christ has full deity, of course, as this book and other scriptures show plainly. As in John 1:1 and 14, he is the Word who is Creator God and became flesh and dwelt among us. Christ and the Father are one, again, John 10:30. And in our verse 9, this chapter, seeing Jesus is seeing the Father. So he declared rightly. And in Colossians 2:9, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And yet we know how in his mercies the Son of God veiled his glory in taking on human nature. That is plainly said of his humility in Philippians 2, and that now, raised from the dead and ascended to heaven, Christ is exalted there as Lord, Lord of all, to the glory of God the Father. And so here, understand, it is as man and mediator between God and man. In that sense, Christ is lesser than the Father, for God is always greater than man, of course. And therefore, it said, it was part of Christ's rich reward as the man of sorrows to go back to heaven to the Father. And there, you know, right now, the Lord Jesus is recognized as the God-man on the throne of heaven. Yes, he is, of course, fully equal to the Father and the Spirit in his being, in his deity. And so there's absolutely no support for the cults denying the triune God here. Well, also, it was to assure the apostles and us that his going away, again, through his death, resurrection, and ascension, all of that was part of God's eternal plan. And it is so in God's plan that Christ will come back in the last day, but also that he would come in the first century by the Spirit at Pentecost. The going and coming Jesus foretold ahead of time, so that his disciples then and always will believe, that we might believe. Yes, dear ones, you and I have all assurance from the Lord our God in the fulfillments already that Christ is God and man, our Savior and Lord. And so we are assured he is the one also who loved us so much, loved us enough to be our sacrifice at the cross and now exalted to heaven as his reward. Now, brothers and sisters, we have every reason to trust in Jesus. He is the Redeemer, the Christ foretold, and true peace to all his followers is his gift to us. Secondly, true peace is received from the Holy Spirit. Well, in verse 25, Jesus reminded them of his words that night and really of all his teaching. Yes, it was all given when he was present with them, of course. And yet the Helper, the Holy Spirit, would bring our Lord's teaching when Jesus was glorified in heaven. A true peace as his gift is received from God's Spirit as his fruit. For he, the Holy Spirit, enables believers. He makes us to be believers, first of all. The Holy Spirit would be sent in Christ's name or on his account. In chapter 15, 26, Jesus would send this Helper from the Father. Well, think of it. What a wonderful promise, beloved of God. For he, that means a person, of course, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity who is sinless and has all moral attributes like the Father and Son. And yes, he's the one to make us to believe, as the Scriptures proclaim, when we were by nature dead in sin and transgressions. He also grants love, joy, peace, and all the fruit of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God leads in making Christians to be holy or more sanctified in our lives with his great enablement. It's not on ourselves that we can depend to be sanctified, but his work that we simply cooperate with. Well, in this context, how will God's Spirit enlarge on that peace from God? Christ foretold that he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And understand, dear ones, that is foremost a promise of Jesus to the apostles, to them. Not only would they remember Christ's teachings, but the Spirit would show their meaning in things the apostles did not even suspect while Jesus was on earth. They would have further understanding of what he began to teach, especially about who he is and his atoning work on the cross. All that, obviously, they had to know to be his witnesses. But interestingly, in chapter 16, 12 and following, Jesus said it was too much for them to bear at this time. But the Spirit of truth would guide them into all truth. Indeed, they would then understand, for example, as in chapter 2, that Christ's body was meant by the temple to be destroyed and raised up after his death. Yes, the apostles needed that enlightenment and to be inspired even to write Scripture. And so the promises here, as I say, were above all for them. And now the New Testament Scriptures, the new revelation has been completed since those inspired ones, inspired by God's Spirit, have died. Yet, of course, you and I and all believers need the indwelling Holy Spirit to remind and teach us through these inspired words from Christ, all the Scriptures, and they are given to his people through the apostles and their helpers. Well, clearly then, fellow Christians, we are always in need of his work. We need to pray for all teaching and preaching in our midst. Pray that the Holy Spirit would guide and direct us. Pray for the teachers of classes. Pray for your pastor and for yourselves to understand God's Word at home. For the Holy Spirit must renew our minds to be conformed to the mind of Christ. Truly, we must each be taught by His Spirit to teach others also. The Spirit so enables us and all true followers of Jesus and enlarges our peace in the Lord. May others then learn through us as well. Yes, may many more come to that peace of salvation in the grace of Jesus Christ alone. Again, that true peace is received from the Holy Spirit. Lastly, he gives love for God, not Satan. Oh, that might seem almost unnecessary, should be unnecessary to say. Yet remember that from Adam's fall, natural man has hated God and man by nature, and followed the devil instead. That's the case with all the unbelieving. Whatever they think, whatever they say, whatever they seem like, however good their lives might seem to be, Without Christ, they're only followers of Satan. Again, that true peace is received, though, from the Holy Spirit. When we trust in Him, and the Holy Jesus is the one who speaks here, and He speaks of His utter opposition to Satan. Well, in verse 30, Jesus would not speak too much longer that night. It was probably already several hours. With the foot washing, the Passover meal, the predictions He has made, and His teachings here, some things He would still teach, of course, as in chapters 15 and 16, but the time yet with them was brief. Oh, along with that, as Matthew Henry said, we should each think how our time on earth to speak for Christ is brief. And it could be ended soon. It could be ended by disability, death, or His return from heaven. Therefore, we should each speak as His witnesses as we can, being led by the Spirit of God. Again, that Spirit, Holy Spirit, gives life for God to motivate us. Gives love for God to motivate us. Well, Jesus said, the time left was brief, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he is nothing in me. Oh, you know, in his love for the Father, Christ would conquer Satan, of course, for our salvation and for us to have his peace. Indeed, the satanic enemies of Jesus were coming to arrest him. And chapter 18 says they were coming with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Why? They were coming as if Jesus was a dangerous criminal. Or his followers would be. And still, Christ had no guilt. He had no sinful nature. No sinful thought, word, or deed. As in 1 John 3:5, in him there is no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he knew no sin. He even said to his enemies here in John 8, which of you convicts me of sin? No one really could, for he had none. And therefore Satan had nothing in him, no claim on him. Not so with all other men, all other people. And you know the devil is called the ruler of this world, temporarily, for a reason. That is, unbelievers in all the world, again, are all under the sway of the wicked one, 1 John 5:19. And so as John Calvin said, however proud men may be, they are the possession of the devil until they are regenerated by the Spirit of Christ. Oh, dear ones, how we must pray again for the Spirit's work to convert sinners. And we must pray for ourselves, certainly, that we may learn more to hate our sins which brought Satan's dominion. To hate them, to reject them. Again, the devil had no dominion over Christ, as our Lord said. And being divine and sinless man, Jesus in himself was not subject to death even. Yet he took our sin and death on himself, and he laid down his life voluntarily at the cross. And so for us and other people, when the devil tempts us and when we sin, then he accuses us. He's the accuser of the brethren. And you know the penalty of sin according to God's justice is death. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, as the wages of sin are death, in that sense, the devil has the power of death, said in Hebrews 2:14. And yet, beloved of God, his power is destroyed for the Lord's elect. Since Jesus voluntarily suffered that penalty, he died for them all. Oh, let us truly rejoice and love our God in return. Also notice here that Christ knew the temptations to forsake the cross, as at the beginning of his ministry, were coming again, now with terrors, not enticement, as the devil tried to entice him before. But Jesus would resist them, of course, and he could not fail at that, being the God-man. And yet his temptations were real, they were severe, but he loved the Father, not Satan, and he would obey the Lord God. Well, a point is that you and I should know of times that temptation will come to us. We can think ahead. We can foresee, perhaps, what it will be like. Yes, we can. And being forewarned, be forearmed. That is, let us each be ready to resist and turn from sin and always be on our guard against it. For as in 1 Peter 5:8, the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you and I are to be ready to resist in the evil time. Well, thankfully, Satan's power is only temporary again for this world. And our Lord Jesus is our model. He was not of this world. He loved the Heavenly Father. And to obey Him, Christ was not going to resist capture. For as the Father gave Him commandment, so He would do, verse 31. And so now, beloved, let us pray that the Holy Spirit will lead us to love our triune God and resist the devil always. After all, when Jesus died, bearing hell on the cross for God's glory and His plan of salvation, we must love our saving God and obey Christ. As for the last words here, arise, let us go from here, they have had many interpretations as to why the discourse and Christ's prayer in chapters 15 to 17 still seem to be in the upper room. It's nothing major, of course, but the words do not mean they immediately left or really were to do so. Certainly in love for the Father, Jesus was ready to go and confront the forces of evil, and they were no match for Him. And it was God's will for His capture and sacrifice that He be arrested, and He was ready to go. Therefore, the words may simply be a spontaneous statement of Christ's eagerness to get into the conflict. And He did not want to miss the meeting with the foes. Yet realizing there was still time, He spoke on. Also, it's possible that John is not being chronological here throughout, as the true vine speech could well go with the institution of the Lord's Supper. In any case, in all of His eagerness to obey the Father, you and I should be encouraged again by Christ's love for the Father and for us, and that He was not forced to meet the enemy, but He wanted to do so. He was ready to go, even ready to suffer hell for His people. Also, our loving, holy Lord Jesus calls to all believers, saying, let us go. Not just I'm going, but let us go. Indeed, may the Holy Spirit give you and me greater love for our God and greater resistance to Satan. Let us follow Jesus, face temptation and death, and fight the good fight of faith, and win. Win by His grace more and more while our brief time in this life continues. Oh, how can you and I do that? By living out the true peace that is Christ's gift and which is received from the Holy Spirit. May God be so glorified in us. Amen. Let us pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we thank You again for Your eternal plan of salvation that You have brought to pass. How we praise You for the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who came and did it all, that He obeyed and He paid the penalty for Your people. He did what we could not, and so He also grants us His peace, as He sought to do Your will, and He did. May we then live out that peace more and more as Christ's gift, and as it's received, as we receive it from the Holy Spirit. It's not in ourselves, but may we turn away from depending upon ourselves. Certainly that is only the way of anxiety and trouble, not peace. We have the grace of the Lord to rely upon. May we do so more and more. Live it out indeed and be Your witnesses. May many more be won to the peace of salvation in Him alone. Thank You for Your faithfulness, O Lord God. Help us to be Your witnesses. May You be glorified in us, in our thoughts, words, and deeds. May You be honored, and may many be won to Christ. And now we do pray together, as Christ taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This time we'll give up tithes and offerings in thankfulness for Christ. I don't know what that noise was, but let us sing, "It's Well With My Soul." Stand to sing, 691.
It is well. soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. O Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
Do receive the Lord's benediction. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.